I am very excited now to introduce you to my next guest. I know him well. I've worked with him for a couple of years right now. But, you know, let me ask you people. Well, not that you can answer because it's radio, but answer in your head. You know that there are people who work hard all their lives to live the American dream, yet they don't know what they really want or how to get there. They know they want it, but they don't know how to get there. It's like, I see it, but do I swim? Do I take a car? What do I do to get there? Carson Tang is the president of Carson Worldwide. He employs experiential events to create awareness and marketing results for business. What is interesting is he's founded Power Mastery and a hike through life using what he has learned from Carson Worldwide. They are empowerment communities offering opportunities for its guests to discover and navigate a path to the North Star through interactive events, activities, and workshops. I've been there. I know. These are amazing events. So, first, let's start with Carson. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, Fran. Great to be here. And it's interesting to be here in front of Santa's workshop because this is where magic happens.
Exactly. And then, see, now that's perfect. Santa Claus comes once a year to make the magic happen, but you do this every day of the year.
I try to.
Exactly. Now, Carson, so people understand this, what is your background and how does someone get to do a fun job like you do?
You know, it's pretty interesting. A lot of people wake up in the morning and hit the snooze button, or they say, oh, I got to go back to work again, or they wait till Friday, it's TGIF. And it's like, why do you do that? And it's like, you should live what your passion is. And so many people say they envy what I do, and I said, I just do what I love doing. And you have to have the fortitude and the commitment to live your dream and follow that star. And so this started for me, decades ago, even before I was even in college. I decided what I wanted to do in life, and that was to entertain people by producing events, bringing people like yourself and other people together to help other people to find where they're heading and how to get there.
So did you not have like a job in a supermarket first or a job anywhere? You literally went from like college to doing this?
I've worked pretty much most of my life. I started about 5 or 6 years old working in a supermarket, helping them stock shelves at night.
Wow. I worked in a supermarket too, so I know the feeling. I wasn't five, however. Yeah, but so I know. And the thing is that I love about you, Carson, I got introduced to you through my friend Lisa Wernick. And she was like, Fran, there's this guy Carson. He's having like this event. It's called Power Mastery. And you should find out, you know, what exactly that is. So I called Carson up and I told him, you know, hey, my name is Fran Capo. I'm the Guinness Book of World Records fastest talking woman. I've written, you know, 20 books, blah, blah, blah. We started talking and realized we both love what we do. We both have a passion for life. So I actually became a speaker at Carson's event. The cool thing about your events, Carson, is now I had never heard the term before, but you call them experiential. So explain how that is different than just going and listening to a speaker.
So, you know, experiential events, I discover, is where people are learning by doing. And experiential just basically means that people are learning by getting themselves involved in doing something. Because I could say something to you, you could see something, you could read something, and it goes in one ear out the other, or you could
Absolutely.
Flip pages, pass by your advertisement. So to augment that is we have people go down to an emotional level which penetrates into the subconscious and has a dialogue with that part of you that is pretty insular. Like when a salesperson approaches you in a store, it's like, oh no, not them again. So your conscious defenses are up. Subconscious dialogue takes place in which the person feels they could trust this person or they feel that they can help them in some way. And we teach people or bring them into an atmosphere or environment where they can actually learn how to create that part of themselves that speaks to their subconscious and be able to control their life and get to where they want to go.
Now, you know, the interesting thing about it is when, and you don't only just have one speaker, you have many speakers, even though the theme may be, you know, business or the theme may be growth, whatever it happens to be. And there's many speakers. I remember one year we were there and Tony Robbins' son was there. And The cool thing is, what part of the thing that I loved about the experiential experience is that you always had something that created a position where people had a breakthrough their fear. So one year it was walking on glass. Another time it was eating fire. And I remember it was actually the very first time I was at your event, and I was doing a talk called Creativity and Marketing. And then at the end of it, we had where you were having teaching people how to eat fire. And I had brought my son. Well, naturally, if you're eating fire, you know, you want a video or a picture of it. So I did it. And then I had my son do it. And I am not good with technology. So I was like, Spencer, come on, eat the fire. He's like, Mom, I'm already helping you with your book sales. Why do I have to help eat the fire? I go, just eat the fire. So he eats it. And I guess I didn't hit the record button. And so I see he goes, did you get it? And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. You got to do it again. So he had to eat the fire again. The second time, the same thing happened. So I was like, I am so sorry. I didn't get you eating the fire again. He grabs the camera away from me. He gives it to Glenn, the guy who was your partner helping you out at that time. And then Glenn's like, I'll take the picture. So we have this great picture. And Carson has come to my birthday parties. And even at my wedding, he was teaching people. So, Carson, where do you come up with the ideas of what is considered a breakthrough? Because I know you do the arrows, and explain to people that it's not just about eating the fire. It's not just about, you know, the arrows. Tell why it's symbolic that people do that.
Those exercises are actually metaphors for things that break through in your life. A short story I read somewhere, which is a true story, was a grandmother was caring for her two children. And I'm paraphrasing this, is one of her grandchildren got pinned under the rear wheel of a car. She didn't know what to do. The lady was in her 60s or 70s. She ran behind the car, picked up the car herself on her own, dragged her kid out from underneath, but she had to hold the car up. So she held the car up with one hand after she picked it up. Summarily, what happened was lots of reporters are trying to get the interview on her, on this story of this spectacular event that took place, a miracle, I guess. And basically, she refused all their interview requests. And
really?
One reporter got to her by knocking on her door and said, I know you're not doing interviews. Can I ask you one question? And she agreed reluctantly. And he asked, why don't you grant interviews? Because what you did was unbelievable. And she said, young man, if I were to give you that interview, you know how many people I would hear from the rest of my life, you know, talking about this event? And he said, what's wrong with that? Wouldn't you want a lot of people to know about it? And she says, no, not really, because that would mean I would have to be reminded every day of my life what I was not capable of doing.
What I was not capable of doing?
Because she performed a miracle she never thought possible. So before that time, up until that date, she never took charge of her own life took what was needed to get past those hurdles. That was her inner voice. You know, people are born with only two fears. That's the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling.
Really?
Yes. Otherwise, there are no other fears when you're born.
So every other fear is a learned fear.
A learned fear.
So, like, I you know what? I actually experienced that because a friend of mine was so scared of heights. And we were at one of these outdoor events, and I was with my son, and I, you know, whatever, you know me. I bungee cord jump, scuba dive, and sharks, do all these crazy things. So it was her and her daughter and me and my son. And there was, at that time, when it was okay, you know, we were riding an elephant. And her friend was, my friend was like, I can't get on that. It's too high. It's too high. I said, well, do you want me to bring, you know, Athena on there? And so Athena got on the elephant and started screaming. I'm like, the elephant hasn't even moved. She goes, but mommy thinks it's scary, so I guess it's bad. I was like, no, it's not bad. What? Just because mommy's scared of it doesn't mean you have to be scared of it. And that's why, you know, you're talking about a learned fear. So, but the thing is also, do you believe in a supernatural, like, do you believe in God?
I believe there's an entity or something out there
right,
that directs your destiny.
So do you think that woman tapped into her unused potential, or do you think it also was something that, you know, the miracle came through and happened.
I hate to associate it with an animal, but if you observe animals, they will live a certain pattern. They're very predictable.
Okay.
And so there comes a point in their life in which they're cornered, you know, like trapped like a rat or cornered like an animal.
Right.
And what they will do is do things that you never thought possible, like a very timid creature like a duck or a geese. They will run from you most of the time, but once they have ducklings or gooselings or geeselings, and
the
you
little
are,
ones,
yeah, and
the
you
little quackers,
exactly, and you approach them, they will defend them. They will chase you off,
right.
You know, even not fearing death from a hunter and his gun, whatever the case may be. So there is a threshold or a point in a person's life that becomes the breakthrough point in their own life. And so when we're talking about those things which I create, I look for those opportunities and identify what those fears are in the majority of people who are coming to the events and how we could break through that by creating a metaphor which makes them realize that what they were doing in the past is not serving their needs. And how can we bring that to their attention in a powerful way. So some of the things that people that fear causing paralysis is that they fear failure, they fear criticism, they fear embarrassment, they fear commitment. And if you look at all those things, any one of those things, it creates a wall or
a
stumbling block,
life.
a limiting view of what you can do. So this lady, with her grandkids, she was fearful of failure, that she wouldn't be able to do that. She believed that she couldn't do it. That's another thing in fear, is the belief system.
Right. So, well, that's key, because it's almost like what you believe will manifest into your life. If you believe you can't, you can. If you believe you can, you can. So it's really up to you to change that belief system. I've actually watched people at your event, like when they were doing the breaking arrows, because people right away, when you hear arrow, they're going, oh my gosh, that arrow's going to go through my neck, and I'll die, and I'll be, you know, I'll walk around with an arrow through it. And I've watched people do it, and they are, it's like instantly, their whole demeanor changes. Like, if I'm able to do this, how hard could a cold call be? If I'm able to do this, how hard can it be for me to go and ask for a raise or whatever happens to me? If I could do this, I can, you know, break through and you know, beat my illness. And so I think what happens is you give people those life-changing experiences by proving to them using those things as a metaphor. Now, Carson, you not only do these type of events. By the way, is Power Mastery just in the U.S. or is it all over the world?
Power Mastery, we're trying to make internet savvy, so we will be creating a community online where people connect with each other and support each other for empowerment. And so that will cater to mostly Gen Xers and baby boomers who have found a stumbling block in their own lives or walls that they come across. A very good example is how many baby boomers out there don't have the luxury of getting an interview when they're applying for a job that they're eminently qualified for.
Right.
It's that age factor or whatever the case may be. Somebody believes they're going to ask for too much money. That's an irrational fear, because until you ask that question, it's not.
And that's the problem with a lot of people. You're going to get nothing if you don't ask.
That's correct. And so we're looking for building opportunities to create that network for people to grow, to support each other, but also find ways to empower themselves and break through.
So
through Power Mastery, that is.
How often do you have the events?
The events we have, I created an experiential event, which happens almost every week or every other week, which is a hike through life, which is the outdoor segment of what we do for Power Mastery.
So it's all connected.
Yes.
Right. So you have like the big major events, like the Power Mastery where all the speakers are, but almost every week. And I get the newsletter. If somebody wanted to find out, by the way, how would they join to find out where you have these events?
So there are two sites, one for Power Mastery, which is simply powermastery.com, which does the empowerment type events, workshops, and retreats. And then there's a Hike Through Life, which does the outdoor adventure. And we go anywhere from China, Europe, Alaska, to use metaphors of the outdoors to help people break through their limiting belief systems and get them into a regimented habit of being committed to life and bringing their life to the next level.
So, I mean, I know I've gone on a couple of hikes with you, and usually, you know, it's not an unmanageable group, so don't think you're going to be, it's like 50 people and you'll be walking. So it's like 20, 30, you keep it to a good different size so people can be intimate. And people are also networking as they're walking and hiking, and then they form, you know, friendships and stuff like that. So where is your next event, actually? Where's your next hike for through life?
I just wanted to add, it's interesting the people that show up on these hikes, is because I've had mayors show up on the hike, I've had airline pilots, I've had doctors, I've had scholarly PhDs. It runs the gambit. And I even had people who are involved in sanitation and construction.
Really?
But all the conversations that occur on these hikes are very, very deep. And they're very meaningful, and people find ways of helping each other. And I have people going back 7, 10, 15 years who are still in touch with each other, having met on my hikes or outings, and you still see them using photographs from those events back at, from Power Mastery and a Hike Through Life. And as a matter of fact, just recently we had two people who met each other on my hike who didn't know each other beforehand, and now they're in a relationship together.
Oh, wow, that is so cool. Carson also runs Match.com, though. I'm like, okay, no. But, no, I think, you know why? Because to me, it's much better to meet someone in an outdoor event like that, because you already know you have something in common, than to walk into a bar, which sounds like I'm about to tell a joke, you know, two good people walk into a bar. But you know what I'm saying? Then to walk into a bar, you've got these people who, now, are a lot of the people, now, the one thing I want to say is not all of them have to be expert hikers. You know, you rate, like, you know, okay, so this hike is, you know, easy, it's, you know, a little challenging, it's very difficult. You rate it, so people of all shapes and sizes can do it. Is there an age limit?
Well, we hike year-round, and it gets increasingly more challenging as the year progresses as we move into the summer months.
In the summer, it's more challenging than the winter?
Well, the hikes are more challenging.
Oh, okay.
Because we're able to stay out longer because we have more daylight, so we do more mileage. Huh. And it's safer to hike when there's no ice patches.
Yeah, you would think.
So we do more, and we challenge ourselves more, because those hikes also, like Power Mastery, become metaphors for life. Give you a good example. People who go on these hikes have to get up early, because there is no hiking in New York City unless you consider Central Park and Inwood
right.
Park
or
hiking.
Climbing up an escalator that's not working, which is not really much of a
hike. So you have to get up pretty early, which means you have to commit to getting up early.
Right.
There's so many people that I see roll out of bed, they sign up to go hiking with us, and they say, hit the snooze button, go back to sleep, or don't show up.
Really?
And that's a lesson to be learned in life, is can you commit to keeping to a schedule for yourself and for your life? And what does that send to an employer or your spouse or your partner or other people around you if you can't keep your promises and your commitments?
To yourself.
Right, exactly.
Because you're the one who signed up. Nobody, you know, had you at gunpoint saying, hey, you gotta go hiking.
Right.
You know, and if you're like, I thought this would be really good, but I want to sleep instead, you find a lot of times if you just push yourself a little bit past that, like, I a lot of times will talk to myself and go, shut up, Capo, just get over there, get dressed, get out there and do it. And if you keep, like, if you don't want to do something, talk your way through it, you know, and then the next thing you know it, you're at the event. Now, is there transportation if people are coming from Manhattan or something, or do everybody just get to the location on their own?
So one unique, interesting thing about what we do is we try to coordinate rides for passengers, and we ask for a contribution to whoever the driver is to help cover their costs and expenses. And because we try not to coordinate it with when public transportation arrives in those similar areas, just because the hike locations get so crowded
right.
when those public transportation arrives. But we go all over. I mean, we travel, most of our local hikes are within an hour and a half of New York City.
Uh-huh.
And then our away hikes, obviously, we don't drive to usually unless we go to like Arcadia, Bar Harbor, Maine, or Niagara Falls, Canada. We've been to all those
right.
places. But we do go out west. We go to Yosemite, China, I said Alaska. You know, Kodiak Island, the Canadian Rockies.
I mean, it's awesome. You wouldn't even think, like, wow, we're doing, basically, you're hiking all around the world. And you're doing the breakthroughs all around the world. Now, do you tell people the gear they need, you know, if they're going on the hikes? Like, okay, we're going to be here. This is what you're going to need. A good pair of, you know, wool socks, hiking shoes. Right, so is there a list of things?
So they get a checklist, and I look at what the weather is like in those areas and what the terrain is like. For example, we were hiking in the Canadian Rockies. I remember this distinctly, across from the Athabasca Glacier north of Lake Louise. Uh-huh. And in August, it actually snowed.
Something
we didn't expect, but I was expecting it could do that. So I told people to bring warm layers and things just in case we had a phenomenon like that. We don't do backpacking, camping, but we do day hikes. So every day we return to the safety, comfort, and warmth of a hot shower and a warm bed.
See that right there? People are going, I don't want to sleep in a tent. Oh, okay, I'm going to get a hot shower. And so that could be the motivation to finish the hike. You know, yeah. You get out there at 8 o'clock, you're going, but there is a hot shower and a nice bed waiting for me afterwards. So, so you have the hikes. Now, Carson, you're also trained, right, with survival training. So people not only get you, you know, saying, hey, we're taking this path, but you also know first aid and things like that, right?
I went through training for wilderness first aid, advanced wilderness first aid. I also took courses in CPR and standard first aid. And I also taught leadership workshops or outdoor leadership, as well as Map and Compass. And also been the chair of a 110,000 member organization dedicated to stewardship of the outdoors, hiking and outdoors, and other things.
So I didn't know that. And you know what? So now I need to know. I got to take that compass class or whatever it is, because I use my GPS and I argue with it. I'm like, nah, I don't like that way. Why am I going that way? And before there was a GPS, I used to have that internal, you know, GPS that would say, oh, no, I think I need to make a right here. Now I've relied too much on the technology. So the cool thing is that you're bringing people back to nature so that they could learn to rely on their inner self and their, you know, their inner GPS. So now if people want to find out, let's get the website one more time. If people want to find out where to go for the hikes.
So there are three websites. One for my event marketing business, which is carsonworldwide.com.
And then
the empowerment, which is powermastery.com.
Powermastery, MASTERY.com.
And then there's the one where I do the outdoor adventures and travel, which I actually have one coming up, Cherry Blossom Smithsonian Institution Memorials down Washington, D.C., during one of the most incredible times of year down there.
When the cherry blossoms are in full bloom.
March 23rd, 2008. We're going down for the weekend. 2018, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah. 2018, you can do the cherry blossoms. You can find out the details by going to...
And the website for that is A Hike Through Life.
You remember to put the word A. So it's A, H-I-K-E, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, L-I-F-E. A Hike Through Life.com. You can find out. You can join Carson. You can meet him in person. If you really want to meet him, you could actually just come out to Cross County Mall. We're across from the Gap and literally right across from Santa's house. If you see that big green tree, you could come and go, Carson, I heard you. I want to sign up. And you could just meet him right here. And then, Carson, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I love your events, and I'm sure I'll be involved in many more of them coming up.
Yeah, we'll look forward to you on another hike.